Willkommen bei Bells Podcast. Alles rund um die Themen Health, Wellbeing, Fitness and Food. Mit Arabelle Kammler.
A very warm welcome from my side to our episode number 41. And as you can hear, this episode we will do in English. The title is The New Work-Life Balance is a Juggling Act. And here I invited my guest, Jesse Plant.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me on the podcast.
Yes, I'm happy that you're here. In this episode, we welcome Jesse. He's a longevity coach and the founder of Life Jugglers, whose background as a traveling winemaker, which I personally like a lot, led him to develop a dynamic framework for holistic well-being. Viewing life as a continual juggle of mind, body, and money. His 12-session program and Life Jugglers Conversation Game empower individuals to move from passive overwhelm to active momentum, discover purpose, and foster genuine belonging. Is that right, what I said in the introduction? Is that something you can...
It sounds about right. It sounds like something I've heard myself say before.
Well, you know, I was thinking of one of my first questions. How does someone become a longevity coach? Because you don't turn that from day one, or you become a student, or you're getting older a bit every day and you're like, oh, how is it going to be when I'm older? So there must be a part of you saying, I do want to live longer. What can I do about it? So when did that happen?
Well, everything starts with a decision. And the decision for me to become a longevity coach happened when I was deep in a meditation at one stage. And it was almost right after I started a permanent job here in Austria. And as soon as I'd started the job, my feet hit the ground. I was like, what's next? I was ready for something else. And I didn't, at that point, I didn't know what that something else was, but I kind of reflected on all the media that I've been consuming, which I love audiobooks. I'm almost always listening to an audiobook, and most of the audiobooks that I'd been listening to were somehow related to longevity, from a how to get rich books to how to be healthy, like health span and those types of books, and then mindfulness as well. Because I think we all went through that period that we kind of had went down a hole and we pulled ourselves back up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So it was the combination of those three elements I could only define as longevity, because it's important in all three of those categories is living sustainably, doing something that you can do forever, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely true. Let's dig in the first real question I have for you. How would you define the modern quarter-life crossroads, or is this it, problem? And why is it so prevalent among young professionals today?
I describe that as the wall I crashed into when I took on that permanent job. Because I'd been climbing the winemaking ladder. I'd been doing vintages in Australia, Germany, slowly working my way up. And then as soon as I became assistant winemaker, there's an old analogy that you're climbing the ladder only to realize it's on the wrong wall. And I'd say that's exactly what happened. Is like, I got near the top of the ladder, I could see the peak, and like, that's not the life I want. And I think I'm not alone in this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we do what we think the world wants of us. And then when we graduate and we find a job, we start looking around like, now what?
Especially now in the time we have the possibility. You know, if you look back at time, probably our parents and the generation before, they didn't have the possibility to do it. So I like that. I like what you're saying. Is there a specific moment that you remember? Not the time, but I really mean a moment when you realized that winemaking wasn't what was fulfilling you and that led you to the career of coaching now? Was it a specific moment, or was it the summary of many moments at one point?
It was one specific moment. When I was deep in a meditation And then it's like something crazy happened when I opened my eyes. I just realized wine is no longer for me. I want to connect in a different way, and I'm done connecting through alcohol.
You know why I ask you this specifically? Because I can also talk about myself in different ways, and a lot of people that I talk to, there might be a specific moment, but that is not necessarily the moment you decide to change it, you know? So that's also, and this is, you know, everyone that knows me, I always say, Arabel s'appelle is tun, 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 meaning just do it. You can't change it if you don't do it. So wanting to change it and really changing it is also another thing. Maybe you can tell us about that a bit so our listeners can maybe identify themselves and see a little bit what they are thinking or what they are suffering with.
Well, like I said before, everything starts with the decision. And there were two decisions, the deciding I want to become a longevity coach and then deciding it's time. And between those two decisions was about 3 years.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting information as well, because 3 years is quite a while, yeah?
Yeah, and because I didn't... Now I think we do see that a lot of people just quit their job and say, I'm going to be a coach. And it's like, What is coaching? It's like, I'll figure it out. So I wanted to have a very clear picture in my mind before I start. It's like, okay, what is coaching? What is the coaching that I want to do? And how is it actually going to help people?
That's such an important point you're pointing out here, because the reason why you become a coach, especially a longevity coach, and your answer more or less without me asking you is what really helps the people. So this is really special, and I like that, because that's the right way I believe you should approach becoming a coach. My next question is, what are the core balls, speaking about the juggling framework, mind, body, and money, and why is juggling a more appropriate metaphor than balancing?
I'll start with why I think juggling is a more appropriate balance than balance, because when I think of a balance, perfect balance is still. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all seen enough hospital TV shows to know that a straight line is not usually a good sign. There's a loud beep that comes and it's the end. Mm-hmm. Life is dynamic. Life isn't, you can't perfectly balance, like, okay, I will have my work here, I'll have my sleep here, and I'll have my life here. It just doesn't happen like that. It's a juggling act, because you're always, you can only focus on one thing at a time. And that's why I use mind, body, and money. Because those are, if you're thinking of longevity, those are the three things that you need to constantly be elevating yourself in to be living a sustainable life. Mm-hmm. If you're only, I usually use the example, if you hold on to one ball, or even if you're holding on to two, you're going to drop one. So even if you're working out every single day and you're super fit and you're great at your job and you're getting promotions and climbing the corporate ladder, at some point you're going to burn out. If you're not taking care of your mental health, you're going to burn out. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're not focusing on your mental health at all, it's just not going to work.
I agree completely. Yeah.
So that's why I see it as you need to constantly be paying attention. And the juggling is perfect, because when you're juggling, you catch a ball, you throw it. You catch a ball, you throw it. So you catch yourself like, oh, I'm starting to slip here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for a run. Like, I haven't moved all week. I've just been working and meditating. So I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to move a little bit, and it'll make me feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My next question is, I want to know, how do awareness, discipline, that's a word that not everybody likes, resilience and accountability each play a role in moving someone from struggle to sustainable juggling? Is that somewhat that you can answer?
It is something that I can answer. The difficult part is, because I know this comes from my website, it comes from my philosophy, but it's always hard to remember your philosophy and like, these are my key words. For me, it, like, the one that really jumps out there is discipline. And the longevity comes from discipline, because a lot of the time you have a decision to make. Do you want to have a piece of cake or not? That's just one decision. And the discipline comes into effect when you make the right choice, the easy choice. And that's where the accountability comes in. Because if I say, I don't want to have cake, but I only tell myself, then no one's going to know if I had a piece of cake. Mm-hmm. But then when accountability comes in, you're going to ask me a week from now, if I tell you, I don't want to have any cake, you're going to ask me a week from now, did you have any cake? And then it's either I'm going to be really proud that I didn't, or I'm going to come up with 1,000 excuses why I did. I was emotional. Everything sucked. I wanted a piece of cake, so I had it. Mm-hmm. And I will remember that moment. And that's the power of accountability. And I, for the life of me, cannot remember the other two. So I'm going to narrow it down to the discipline and the mm-hmm. accountability helps you gain the discipline, because then there's someone asking you, did you do it?
Mm-hmm. I do hear what you're saying, and I'm thinking about it not only in my expertise, and you know that most of what I teach is nutrition, right? And here is the word accountability, not always the word everybody wants to hear, the discipline. Maybe it's a little different approach or aspect. And I do want to talk about these things as well, you know, because I don't want people saying to themselves they're feeling so bad because they just didn't do exactly the discipline they needed. You know, life is also there to be living, right? I believe it depends on what you really want to do. And I have a lot of people talking about what I do. They want to change some things, but they don't do it, right? And they're like fighting, you know, the little devil and the angel in your head, and they're having little fights, you know, like a comic in your head. You have to decide what you really want to do. And I believe that this has to do with longevity in your life, you know? I mean, nothing will happen if you do it once at a time. And the same is with nutrition. What I want to say is, I believe knowledge is very important, that you have to know what it is that makes it bad, right? And of course, the big signs like, you know, not smoking and moving and the right nutrition, of course, we all know that. But you said about the mental health, and that is something I am afraid not everybody knows yet how important that is. And also the gut health, which is also a part that I'm not getting tired of telling everyone, and the stress and all these big, big, big topics already by school children. Your child is very small, as we talked before. It's just a very small yet, but I have a teenager child, and you know, and I see that the stress in school also starts here, you know, and I know what it can do to the body. So what I'm trying to say, right, is the people that are interested in living a long life have to find out what it takes, what it needs, and then get themselves accountability to that in order to reach their goal. And if they say, well, it's enough 70%, right, just to make a number here, then okay, then it's okay if they eat the cake once a week, but not twice a week. Is that something you can... I don't know how to say it in a way, because that you can live with your customers. You know what I'm trying to say? Or is it something if you really have to be strict about it?
I wanted
you to answer this, because I don't want the people to this now. So please give that part as well.
Yeah, and especially because we're talking... longevity is obviously something that's important to me, and I'm very aware of... I'm just going to keep using the example of cake for simplicity. Like, I know that sugar is dangerous, but that doesn't mean I never eat cake. I love magnums and ice cream. The key is, like you mentioned, awareness. Mm-hmm. Being aware that it's not great for you. And one thing I really want to mention is that, especially with longevity, I try not to be restrictive. It's not about making your life restrictive, because I strongly believe diets don't work. Because as soon as the diet is done, you're going to go straight back to the lifestyle you were having mm-hmm. before. And that's where coaching and longevity comes in, because it's not about a quick fix. It's about a lifestyle change. So it's not about never having cake, because that's not going to work. That's not going to be sustainable. Yeah. It's about celebrating cake.
Right, absolutely. Thanks for saying that. And that was important for me to really point out as well. Let's go back to the questions. What common mental habits keep people stuck? And how do you help clients build mental clarity?
I think the biggest habit that people that hold people back is that I can't do it. It would have been so easy for me as a winemaker with a decent salary, decent life to say, I can't be a coach. I don't know how to run a business. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't. It's true. I don't know how to do those things. Mm-hmm. But if I look at it as I don't know how to do it, then, and that's the end, nothing will ever change. Just adding one small word, yet. I don't know how to do it yet. Mm-hmm. Changes everything.
Absolutely.
Because when I came up with the juggling concept, I wanted to learn how to juggle. And I was like, okay, I don't know how to juggle yet. And then I practiced and I learned, and eventually now I can half decently juggle. Because anything, especially if it's a skill, mm-hmm. you can learn it.
You can learn it, absolutely. Absolutely, I agree. In what way does physical energy, and that's an important point as well, or lack thereof, impact one's ability to juggle life? And what simple routines do you recommend?
A lot of the time, physical energy is something that compounds. The more you do, the more energy you have. And the big here, again, longevity as a lifestyle is what I believe in. I don't go to the gym. A lot of people think I do. When they look at me, they're like, yeah, that guy definitely goes to the gym. No, I have a pair of running shoes and that's about and holding my daughter. And that's as fit as I get. Now, because I realized that since leaving the wine industry, I don't move. There's a lot of muscles that I don't use. Mm-hmm. So I decided to start learning breakdancing as a form of fitness. It's like, okay, what? And I was just thinking, what is the one thing that I can do that I don't need anything at home and will help me maintain my muscle? Mm-hmm. For the thing that came to my mind was breakdancing. Mm-hmm. But the key thing is I always take the stairs. My backpack is always heavy. I have mm-hmm. a big computer. I always have several copies of the Live Juggler game just in case someone mm-hmm. somewhere wants to buy one. Mm-hmm. And when someone picks up my backpack, they're like, this is heavy. Why do you have it? Well, because rucking is one of the best physical activities you can mm-hmm. do. Mm-hmm. Just having a backpack that is heavy turns your walk into the equivalent of a jog. And then just choosing, when you see an escalator, just choosing the stairs makes a huge difference mm-hmm. in your fitness at the end of the year. So it's like, yeah, I like to run marathons, but I'm not fit because of the marathons. Mm-hmm. I'm fit because I make longevity a lifestyle. And that's the number one habit is when you have the choice of, do I want to call an Uber to make sure I make it to the podcast on time? Or do I want to take the bike out of the van and give her to try to make it on time? I'm going to take the bike. And I did. And that's why now I'm actually quite sweaty.
I did. I saw it through the window when you came here on the bicycle. I like these answers. And that's the reason why I do this podcast. Because people like you inspire. Because it's not only the one right thing for this specific person, right? For you, it was the breakdance or different things. And for the other one, it's different. For me, I always take the stairs to 99% unless I am carrying lots of stuff. And even then, I put it in the elevator and I walk by foot. And I do the same with my daughter since she can walk. And that's something completely normal. And that's the way it should be. But I understand if somebody does it their way, and that's okay as well. I want to come to a slightly different topic by my next question. Why do you believe there are so many people experiencing loneliness despite social media connectivity? And how does aligning with purpose and values help find one's tribe? I try to find a nice pronunciation for the sentence.
Yeah, perfect. The This is actually relates to a different company that I'm launching called the Be Fun Academy, where mm-hmm. we're helping people relearn the skills of connection. Because we grew up, especially me, I grew up in a time where social media and the internet was, let's call it big. Mm-hmm. And now with AI coming in, there's no reason to talk to each other. And how can you find your tribe mm-hmm. if you don't talk to anyone? Even on social media, like maybe you comment, maybe you like or you share, but it's not a real interaction. It's like when someone comments on my post, I don't think like, oh, I wonder how Jamie's doing and like start mm-hmm. a conversation. Yeah. It's not a conversation. Yeah. It's maybe one comment, I'll put a reply and then that's the end of it. But to have a conversation just like we're having now where we're making strong mm-hmm. eye contact and we're listening.
Listening, yeah. Just wanted to say that, yeah.
Yeah.
Exchanging, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. AI is kissing everyone's backside and mm-hmm. we're losing the ability to communicate and connect with each other.
Yeah, and it's very important, especially in this time. Now we have the year 2025 that the kids coming up and the teenagers, they know that as well because things are changing so quickly. My next question, I really like that one because I do that myself. I want to ask you, how do you help clients recognize and celebrate small wins so they maintain the momentum? And I say that with a laugh because I celebrate my small wins all the time, even though it's sometimes, too small. No, there's no small win too small. So, keep yourself happy. That's the way I do it with myself. So how do you do that with your clients?
Attention. I make mm-hmm. the, especially as we progress through the sessions, I keep them accountable to what they want to be doing. And then mm-hmm. when they tell me like, oh, I did this, like that's, mm-hmm. that's wonderful. You did it. That's fantastic. Right. That's excellent. And a big one is just that, paying attention to the small wins. Another way that not just with clients, but a way that I like to start conversations is what's going well. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this is actually, it's hard because a lot of the time people tell me like, everything's going well. And then they'll start complaining about something. It's like, no, please, yeah. One specific thing. What is going well in your life? And then it actually helps. It doesn't matter mm-hmm. who the person is. Mm-hmm. It helps them to stop and think of, okay, what is one specific thing that I'm happy about? And it might even just be like, oh, I had a really good burger for lunch.
Yeah.
Like, great.
Which is great.
Small, yeah. Small win.
Yeah, absolutely. Next, let's come to the money part. How do financial beliefs and behaviors typically trip people up? And what strategies within your money ball help restore agency?
I feel like I keep answering the same question with the same word, but attention. Once again, one thing that as a traveling winemaker, I worked for there's a 5-year stretch where I worked an average of 9 months a year. Mm-hmm. And that meant during those 9 months, I needed to make sure that I had 12 months of livable savings or whatever. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I became I kept track of my finances. Mm-hmm. I always had a budget. This is how much I have. So it didn't matter when I was working in Australia making mega bucks. I had the same budget as when I was living in Germany waiting for work to start mm-hmm. because I knew this is how much I have for the year and I will live according to that. I think the most dangerous thing that we can do is live paycheck to paycheck. And I've always lived in kind of this what I call student mode where you work for a period, you save as much as you can, and then you live for a period without any income. And just because I've become habituated to that, I am super aware that when I'm making money, a part of it needs to go to savings. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the two habits that really help people and that I try to bring awareness to is, are you putting anything towards your savings and where are you wasting money? Because it doesn't matter who you are. All of us waste money. And like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, we want to
right. Yeah.
Luxuries. Yeah. are okay, but it's, are you aware of the lectures?
Absolutely. There's back to the word awareness, you know, and there's nothing wrong with the student way of treating money while you're a student. There's a beginning and there's hopefully an end when you're a student, but it's the point of awareness. You're absolutely right. How do you ensure that the momentum gained in coaching endures beyond the initial program?
A big part of that is the fact that it is 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. I chose a timeline that the habits we discuss are going to be instilled by the time we finish. Another thing that I do with a lot of my clients is that when those 12 weeks are done, it's not over. Like we maintain at least some sort of a relationship so that every once in a while we'll have a refresher session. Mm-hmm. And then that's mainly to see, like, how are you doing? What's sneaking back in? And what do you need to talk about? What do you need to address? How has your life circumstances changed? And in what direction do you need to go? Because sometimes, yeah, people get great momentum after 12 weeks. And then they'll go on holiday for a month or two. And when they come back from holiday, they might as well have started from scratch. And mm-hmm. then it's like, okay, mm-hmm. let's start over. Let's have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And because it's... The analogy I'll use here is like learning a language. If you speak a language and then you forget some of it, it's a lot easier to get it back. So mm-hmm. it's to yeah. make sure that we approach frequently enough that they keep going back to the place where they're building momentum.
Mm-hmm. That's nice, yeah. So we're already coming to an end, but I would like to know what's next for life jugglers, and where do you see the future of holistic longevity coaching heading to? Because I think not even everyone knows what the word longevity is. You know, I mean, if you talk to people, I'm not sure that everybody knows that. So how do you see the future in the world?
I see it as getting a lot more specific. Mm-hmm. Because now what I've noticed since launching is that people are going more and more towards AI or towards technology to solve their problems. They rather have a conversation with a robot than a human. And then longevity at that point, at like the nth stage, will become purely helping people connect to other people. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, that's why I created the Life Jugglers game. Because a lot of the questions that I ask during my sessions are questions on how do you take care of your body, or how do you take care of your money, how do you take care of your mind? And the Life Jugglers game is introducing some of these questions into a game format so that if people are sitting around a table and they want to have a conversation, they practice A, the skill of listening, because the game specifically says one person talks at a time. There's even a talking stick if you need to use it. And if people start talking over each other, like, no, this is a place of openness and listening. So the things that I am doing is to boost conversations about longevity. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important mm-hmm. thing, is because science and technology is going in a direction where we have so many opportunities and we can do anything, basically anything we want. Mm-hmm. It's important for us to retain our humanity. So being connected to one another and asking each other important questions.
So that's exactly what we did today. So we boosted it already now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Jesse, thank you so much for sharing these insights. For listeners, they should be ready to stop struggling and start juggling. So if you want to get to know Jesse more in detail, you are also a WellForm expert, where you have led an interactive live workshop, which is an evergreen. So if you want to know more about that, come to our website, thewellform.international. And if they want to go directly to your website, go to jugglers.life. So thank you so much for coming today. It was really a pleasure listening to you and talking about longevity. And I believe that's a very, very important topic. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I was happy to be here.
Pleasure.